Jasmine Taylor Bryant says it should have been a red flag when her daughter Willow lost 6 pounds between routine yearly checkups.
And then by March, she had missed a period. And so I was like, nope, you've lost weight. I can see something's going on. Everything around food is stressful. We need to go to the doctor.
It was obvious her daughter was losing too much weight. But the local clinic wanted to run tests and make sure something else wasn't behind Willow's weight loss.
It kind of just got out of control really fast for her, not being able to eat.
By May, Willow was losing a pound or two a week. Taylor Bryant says it took a long time to get an eating disorder diagnosis. There are no treatment centers for eating disorders in Alaska. And for families like theirs, who rely on Medicaid, there's only one option for treatment. It's in Utah. The wait list is 12 weeks long.
And, you know, every week I was just saying, like, we don't have 12 weeks, you know, and then we don't have 11 weeks. Well, we don't have 10 weeks. Like, she's not going to make it at this rate. Like, this is not, you know, this is too much too fast. And she couldn't control it at that point.
Taylor Bryant found another clinic with space for Willow, roughly 3,000 miles away. She declined to share exactly where it is for privacy reasons. Willow's still in treatment there. The family is paying out of pocket. It costs up to $1,800 a day, up front. She estimates the total bill by the time Willow was released in January will be more than $200,000. Taylor Bryant moved into the room above her parents' garage so she could rent her place. Willow's grandmother mortgaged her home. The Haynes community, family, and friends have donated tens of thousands of dollars to save Willow's life. There's only one dietitian in the state certified to work with eating disorders.
We need qualified clinicians. That would at least allow us to do better for an outpatient level of care.
Grace Ray Schumacher noticed that she was seeing a lot of patients with eating disorders when she began work as a dietitian in Palmer. Cases began to ramp up during the pandemic. Schumacher says Alaska's medical facilities aren't set up to handle the volume or the severity.
It was pretty scary. And as a clinician dealing with the liability of having patients in my care who are not necessarily supposed to be cared for at this level of care, it's intimidating.
Schumacher works with out-of-state clinics to get people into care they need. But she says wait times can be really long lately. And some clinics only accept certain populations. The Utah clinic that takes Medicaid only works with female-identifying patients over the age of 13, for example. That leaves a lot of people out.
My son was diagnosed with an eating disorder at the age of 10, about 2 years ago.
Keegan Carroll says doctors in her community didn't really know how to respond and initially brushed off her concerns.
And because we were here in Juneau, there were no resources to help us navigate.
Her son's illness progressed quickly. After 3 months of bouncing around, the family found Schumacher, who ran blood tests. Carol says her son's heart rate dipped into the 30s, a sign that the body is starving.
2 days later, we were on our way to Children's Hospital in Seattle.
It was there that the family finally got an anorexia diagnosis.
I mean, I literally just broke down. And that was probably the hardest moment of your life. And I think because of the uncertainty of what was going to happen and how we were going to treat this. And as a family, what was going to be our future? What was going to be his future?
There was nowhere to continue his care in Juneau. No one specialized in teaching his body to receive food again. Carol quit her job, and her husband took time off from work to treat their son at home. She's turned to advocacy in the wake of her son's illness. She joined the committee of a fledgling nonprofit and is pushing for awareness. Beth Rose began that nonprofit, Alaska Eating Disorders Alliance, 2 years ago with a friend. Both women recovered from eating disorders in their teens and then navigated care with their children.
So we've had people ask us, oh my gosh, where have you been? Because it was great before and it has been even more intense since that time.
She says the stakes couldn't be higher. More people die with eating disorders than any psychiatric illness other than opioid addiction. There aren't many statistics to point to. The Centers for Disease Control stopped formally tracking eating disorders in 2015. Even though nearly 10% of the population will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime.
There's so much shame and stigma around eating disorders.
The National Eating Disorder Association runs a hotline for calls, texts, and chat for people in need. The volume of interactions went up 56% during the pandemic. Back in Haynes, Taylor Bryant says her daughter is making progress in the lower 48. On a recent video call, some of Willow's friends passed in the hall.
I could hear just kids like going like, "Hi, Willow's mom." It just reminded me so, like, I know that they're all just a bunch of kids, but like, it was like, oh my God, they're just normal kids that are all scared and all so far away from home.
Local advocates want to bring care like this closer and make it easier to find help at all. In Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.